Peter R. Breggin, M.D., is called the conscience of psychiatry for his many decades of successful reform efforts. His scientific and educational work provide the foundation for modern criticism of drugs and ECT, and lead the way in promoting more caring and effective therapies. His books include Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, Medication Madness, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and now, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, Understanding and Overcoming Negative Emotions. Welcome to the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour.
Well, hello, 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 my wonderful audience. Once again, once a week, I get to talk to wonderful people all over the world, folks really concerned about truth, truth about life, truth about medicine, truth about psychiatry, and lately I've been talking about truth about nutrition even. Which brings me to an upcoming conference. I want to remind you all to get in on it early. I think we're going to probably run out of space. And this conference is what a conference I'm doing with nutritionist Pam Popper. The conference is the 2017 annual conference that she puts on medical decision making. And I'm co-sponsoring from the center, our Center for the Study of Empathic Therapy. And my guest today, Peter Goetze. Peter, you're there. You got a good connection, I'll bet.
I hope so.
Yes, you sound good. Peter's going to be there, too. I'll tell you a little more about Peter for those of you who don't know. Shouldn't be too many of you who don't know who he is. But Peter's coming. I've invited him as being co-sponsor. And he'll be there to talk. And also a friend of mine, Jeannie Stolzer, who will be talking about attachment, about human relationship and its importance to biological and mental health. And Pam Popper, who is a nutritionist, PhD nutritionist. She'll be introducing you and talking to you about the kind of food and life we're supposed to lead and what we should eat and why we should eat. And she's not selling you some supplement. It's not one of those kind of like going to a medical conference or going to a nutritional conference where everybody says selling you something. She's gonna teach you how to change your health and eat for less money. People who want food stamps can eat for this. If you want to buy some of her special made foods, you can. But it's not like she's pretending that there's a secret other than good, solid food. And there'll be a chef will be talking, and then some other people in the fields of medicine and nutrition. And this is a good conference. It's November of the, which is not far away, the 10th through 12th in Columbus, Ohio. Get to see lots of me and lots of Peter. I'll be doing a couple of presentations, and I'll be there. It's really a wonderful conference with wonderful people. This will be my third or fourth attendance at the conferences, and now my second one co-sponsoring and working directly with her. So go to my website and look at events, coming events, and you'll get all the information you need. Don't forget about my website, breggin.com, B-R-E-G-G-I-N.com. I have a tremendous amount of free information on there. I finally finished my Michelle Carter blog, the story of the gal who, the young woman, age 17, who's about, he texted her boyfriend to kill himself, and he did. Far-fetched. It was a witch hunt, folks. It was a witch hunt, and it was also a bit of a vendetta involving the boy's family who killed himself. And you'll find out about the district attorney who was related to the boy who died. No wonder he's out to get Michelle. He's a third cousin to the boy who died and a first cousin to his mother, his grandmother. I mean, you're going to get stuff like you never heard before. And basically, it always comes out covered up to blaming something or someone else. So, my Michelle Carter is a six of the post up now. That child's basically done. And although I may be updating, and don't forget that I have weekly alerts now. Thousands of people are looking at my weekly alerts. They're sometimes 5 days, sometimes 8 days, but I try to make them frequent alerts, as I've said. So ton going on with me, a ton of interesting information on my website, resource centers on ECT, antipsychotic drugs, antidepressants, huge free resource centers, download all kinds of scientific information. Now, my guest today, in part, we're having him on again to remind you about the conference, in part because I'm just going to keep having Peter on. I did a long series with him. He's one of two or three people I've never done a series with. His name is Peter Goetze. Peter, he's an MD. He's a professor. He's a leader in Denmark. He is a co-founder of the Corcoran Collaboration, which is trying to set standards for evaluating medical research. Is published. He's fluent in English and God knows what else. He's written one of the very best books in our profession right now called Deadly Psychiatry and Organized Denial. It's one of the small number of books that I always cite whenever I can and always mention whenever I can in regard to our field. Peter's a hero. You know, I love him. I respect him. I admire him. And I've had him over to the U.S. now, I guess two or three times maybe, something like that. And this is a man you really want to listen to. I can't have him on the show often enough. Welcome, Peter. Welcome, welcome, welcome from Denmark.
Thanks so much, Peter.
The show is yours, my friend. Where would you like to pick up?
Oh, there are many, many interesting things going on right now. I can tell you, for example, of a young man who, after a consultation that just lasted 10 minutes, was put on an antidepressant drug, which he has tried to come off throughout 10 years, several times without succeeding. But then he came into contact with one of my PhD students, who is a psychologist, and he gave him good psychotherapy during drug withdrawal, and after only 3 months, he came off his antidepressant drug. That's a little while ago, so. And he is still suffering from pretty horrible abstinence symptoms that can last months. And in the worst cases, as you know everything about Peter, they can last for years even. But he is positive and he wants never to get back on these terrible drugs again. This came about because we had the first course on drug withdrawal in Denmark in June, where we invited both patients and relatives and psychiatrists, psychologists, other therapists and journalists and everybody with an interest in psychiatric drugs. We learned a lot and we have put up the videos on my website and they have English subtitles. And we have some material up there, guides in how to divide tablets and so that you can reduce the dose and what you can expect in terms of abstinence symptoms and how you should do it and an abstinence chart where you can register every day the symptoms you have so you can follow the process day by day and so on. We are doing really much in order to try to grapple with the fact that even in my little country, around 200,000 people have become dependent on psychiatric drugs, and we are only 5.5 million. So we have now started something that I believe is incredibly important for people and very meaningful. So I will just give you our website, which is 3W.deadlymedicines in plural and in one word, deadlymedicines.dk for Denmark. There it is all up on our front page, so it's easy to find. I also have a list of psychiatrists and psychologists and other therapists who are willing to help patients withdraw from these drugs. And this list is divided by countries. I have almost nothing from the United States, but I would love to put some good names in there for the benefit of patients all over the world. I get emails from so many countries, from desperate patients or relatives to patients, that tell me that the psychiatrists tell them that if they don't want the drugs, they are finished. The psychiatrists don't want to see them any longer. It is as if they have forgotten there is something called psychotherapy. So now it's up to you, Peter.
Well, really, very, very glad that that you're doing that. We are also doing this something similar over here, where Pam Popper and I have developed our own course for college credit on how and why to withdraw from psychiatric drugs. I don't have much of it about it up on the website, but the course is now available and people are signing up, and I will do an alert on that and do a link on that, and maybe we can somehow join hands across the huge oceanic divide between us. I'm so glad to see something happening in Europe, and we're doing our bit here too. We've really got to push the professions into learning to take people off psych drugs. I think an honorable way for psychiatry to proceed would be to announce its demise in 20 years, and that all they would be doing for the next 20 years would be helping people recover from all the damage my colleagues have done. How's that for a proposal, Peter?
Oh yes, I gave a talk only yesterday with my PhD student, whose task is to do a PhD on safe methods for psychiatric drug withdrawal. So we are studying the literature together, but he also withdraws people in practice, and he does that pro bono without taking any fee for it. So he has a good deal of people already that he helps. And definitely we must work together over the Atlantic Ocean, also considering our newly established International Institute for Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal in Göteborg in Sweden, which we established a year ago. And of course, you are absolutely right, Peter, that the psychiatrists have created a terrible mess with drugs that are actually pretty horrible. People I know who have tried to take just one tablet of an antipsychotic to see how it is, they have told me that they can feel very quickly that they got a poison in their body, and that they have difficulty even reading the subtitles on a film shown on television, or concentrating or doing anything, and that this can take 2 to 3 days before they become themselves again. And then we give these drugs against people's will and tell them it's for their own benefit. I mean, if psychiatry is to survive what is coming, which I can see in more and more countries, then they need to realize that this idea with the benefits of psychiatric drugs was almost altogether totally wrong and totally harmful. They need to relearn psychotherapy and take an interest in people. When we lectured yesterday for a general audience, I gave the example that if you break a leg, you can test whether aspirin will lower the pain from your broken leg. And you will find that aspirin actually lowers the pain, but it doesn't heal your leg. And this is exactly what psychiatric drugs do. They have very little benefits. And the little benefits they have is like giving aspirin to a broken leg. They don't heal the emotional pain people have. They just reduce some symptoms slightly. And we now have data in our research that we have not yet published, but when you put people on antidepressant drugs and you know the positive effect is almost non-existing, whereas the side effects are pronounced, for example, sexual side effects and all other things, then the best measure of whether the drug is worthwhile taking is whether the patients stay in your trial. And we have now found out that patients leave the trial, they drop out of the trial more when they are on active drug than we are on placebo. Then they say, goodbye, I don't want to continue with this drug, which means that they should better get placebo rather than drugs. So I look much forward to publishing this result, but somehow it seems no matter what we publish, the psychiatrists just ignore it because they have these religious beliefs and they are so entrenched in them that they can't give up on all these false beliefs. But we continue trying, and I think by creating pressure from the public and from the politicians, the psychiatrists will ultimately lose this foolish battle.
I don't think we can do anything to change psychiatry very much. I think people have to stop going. They're too invested. There's so much power, and the money the drug companies will pour into to supporting and propping up psychiatry and general medicine for a lot of its other drugs that don't work. And the money they'll put into the media to see that our views don't come out and so on is such that I think that this has got to – the main appeal has to be to the public worldwide, to the victims, to people who are thinking about the drugs, to people whose families have been harmed, so that the word just goes out on this enormous internet opportunities we all have now, and people really get to hear it. You know, my first blog in the Michelle Carter series had over 30,000 people looking at it, reading it. And that's a best-selling book nowadays in hardcover. That'd be called a bestseller. So I think it's important for us to be reaching out to the public. But I admire your efforts and Bob Whitaker's to influence the professions as well. I've tried that forever. I've published medical books and medical articles, and I still will, I guess.
So, Peter, what I want to do is get us oriented more around some of the things we were talking about. When you were talking earlier, you mentioned taking one dose of the drug and the drastic effect it had on an individual who just wanted to test it. When I was in my residency at Harvard and we were loading up all our patients with these drugs, I decided to do a test of 50 milligrams of Thorazine. And I knew it was very powerful, but I took the minimal dose. And I thought, I'll take it at bedtime. It's a sedative. Maybe I'll just, get zonked out for the night and probably nothing bad will happen to me. So I took it and I woke up in the morning and I said to myself, I'm surprised, but I just feel fine. So I went into the bathroom and I started to brush my teeth and I saw two heads in the mirror. It was shocking. It's like, what is going on here? And then I realized that the drug had given me an abnormal movement in my eyes, most likely that my eyes were diverging and not coordinating. And I thought to myself, what in the world would this do to somebody who got up in the morning in a mental hospital and had a phenomena like that or an infinite number of other bizarre things? Are you still there, my friend?
I'm still there, but now I go and pick up another phone in another room. I'll just be back because this connection is very bad. I want to find out if it's my phone or if it's on your side. Just a minute.
I think it's probably on my side. Peter, why don't you experiment with, just give a little talk to folks, and I'm going to work on my technology on this end, all right? Tell them about your forthcoming
book. I can only hear some of the words, so it's very difficult for me to be on the line with you.
Okay. My message is everything sounds fine on my end. I'm getting a message.
But let me just go and pick up the other phone. Just a minute.
Okay. So Peter's going to try another phone. This is part of technology. I hope I'm sounding okay on this particular phone.
Hi, the artist I'm putting here.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, it didn't help.
No.
Oh, sorry. It didn't help to pick up the other phone. Unfortunately, I think we will need to cancel this because I only hear half of the words you are saying.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for being on. We did go well in the beginning, and I'm going to take a minute with my studio and see what we'll do. I could just talk for half an hour. Maybe I can get on a better phone than this. So, folks, stay with us. This might be exciting because I am maybe going to just talk to you half an hour, if nothing more. And because of problems we've been having, so we might just put this up as a half-hour show. We'll connect it with Peter Goetze and see if they can edit it in some way. I think what I'll do is talk with you some more about nutrition. And I want to talk about this because it's really on my mind right now. Everything that has been going on in the nutritional world is the same as has been going on in the psychiatric world. And I think it's going on in 90% of the medical world. And that is that industrialized society is controlled by the industries. It's a remarkable thing. Industrialized society, that's all of us in the West and lots of other places, is controlled by industry. That means that the cars we drive, the TVs we watch, and so on, Google, the very web we communicate with, everything now is heavily, heavily controlled and monitored by industry. In the area of nutrition, it's been the same for years. For example, nutritionists have known for a long time that dairy products are basically poisonous to human beings. We never ate any dairy products until 10,000 years ago. You know, human biped-like creatures are 2 million years old. And then mammals go back, you know, multiples, way beyond that. And during that whole time, the only milk we ever drank was from other mammals of our species. And now we try to live off of milk products from cows. It is not good for people. And I remember mentioning to my nutritionist that I had heard that a lot of people, their allergies improve if they give up the dairy products. And he said, yeah, I've heard some of that. But he didn't say, yeah, why don't you do that? Well, why wouldn't? He's a very honorable man, a very good man. So why wouldn't he say that? Probably because he wouldn't know how to make a living. He would have to relearn and restructure everything he's doing in his life. He'd at the least have to get a nutritionist in to try treating all patients with nutrition before he treated them with medications and all the things he knew about, all the tests that he did. With an internist, I've seen something very similar. Oh, yeah. That kind of diet that you're talking to me about, Pete, I've heard of that. And I think it's a good idea. It might really help a lot of patients with gastrointestinal problems. But he'd never mentioned it to us. So, again, what's going on? And I think what's going on is the same thing that goes on with psychiatrists. Psychiatrists make their living now diagnosing and drugging. Medical doctors make their living on fancy diagnosing and fancy medicating. And they'll try sometimes and say to a patient, your diabetes, well, I probably wouldn't need any medication if you would just get on your diet and do this and do that. But it doesn't work very well. And why? Because it's an industrial diet. It's all same industry again. And so they're going to be getting some foods they shouldn't be taking. And let's say they're a child with a problem, a diabetic problem, or any other problem, and they're going to a public school and they're getting their lunch, and their lunch, mandated by the federal government, has milk in it. So they have to go through the embarrassment of not drinking their milk. So number one on what I want to talk to you about is a good diet. And about just this is I'm winging it now, folks, but this could be really interesting because it's for me to figure out how I want to talk about these issues with you. So if we look now at the situation that all of your diet is controlled by pyramids or now plates or whatever else that's being taught, whatever mechanism is being used. One way to look at it is it's and this is just an arbitrary number, is it two parts industrial, two parts dairy industry. It's three parts grain industries. It's whatever. Maybe it's a few parts vegetable industry, but it isn't going to tell you to do non-GMO foods and to avoid fatty vegetables and things like that. The best diet, and this is from Pam Popper's work. You can look her up on the internet, and it's from her book. I'm grabbing it, Solving America's Health Crisis, Pam Popper. And this is what we're going to be talking about, both psychiatric advanced psychiatric interventions and advanced nutritional interventions at our conference is coming up November 12th. You can find it on my website. If you go to the events section, where we're going to have nutritionists, and Peter Goertz is going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and psychiatrists, and we're going to just talk about these common factors. Well, the best diet begins with eating vegetable matter, eating plants. And the basic, and this we know this from research, we know from studying evolution, that societies who are basing their diet on things like rice, potatoes, squash, corn, whole grains, legumes, societies that are basing their diet on that, along with then that being your basics, and then next, the vegetables, because remember, fancy vegetables wouldn't have been so available in fancy salads in early days and in poor environments that where people are actually, while they may die of other things, are not dying of Western disorders, cancer and diabetes and heart disease and whole bunches of other things. So the next step up after the legumes and the whole grains and the potatoes and the squash and the corn and the rice, the next step up is your vegetables. So your plate's going to start with something on it that looks like squash or corn or potatoes or whole grain or legumes. It's going to have those things on it. And maybe that's all for that particular meal because you're generally going to eat meals as you wish, probably a few more a day than you're used to. Then the next up is the raw vegetables, steamed vegetables, cooked vegetables, big salads, sprouts. So you're in your vegetables, and then you go up to fruit as the next least that you're going to eat, then processed foods minimally, then very little fatty plants, not even my favorites, the nuts, the seeds, the olives, the avocados. This is a low-fat diet. And then you can have some meat two or three times a week, but no dairy. You can have some wild-caught fish. You You can have some organic chicken, but no dairy. And then you can have a treat once in a while, whatever treats are. So probably the two big deals here are no fats, which means really no oils. Now, you're going to get some fats anyway, but you don't take concentrated fats. You don't use any oil, even olive oils, the so-called good oils. See, they found a bad oil, so then they start doing research to promote good oils. And that's really not the way to go. I really believe tam poppers work. The way to go is to reduce it. Now, personally, why do I believe in this? Well, I have not been able to lose weight in my adult life. My body build, I've been told, is like a, if I were only bigger, would be that of a left guard on a football team. Bones and muscles and fat. And I've just had a terrible time losing weight. I went on this diet, and I lost 25 pounds in the blink of an eye. In fact, eating as much as I wanted. See, this is not a diet we don't eat. You eat as much as you want. You have many potatoes and whole grains and steamed vegetables and big salads and sprouts and then a little less cereals and good breads, but quite a bit less. And, you know, so it's not like you got to starve yourself. You can even have, you know, some fish or some meat 2-3 times a week. No dairy at all. Stay away from the fatty stuff, including fatty vegetables. And that's what I did. And, you know, the 25 pounds, disappeared. I don't know whether it was 3 weeks or 2 months. So somewhere in that range, I just started crashing down. And then my body said, no, not for a while. So I've only lost a few more pounds. It went much too fast. I'm down 28 pounds. And I eat as much as I want, but I eat the right foods. Now, what happened in addition to losing 28 pounds? Well, an 80-year-old man who no longer takes his blood pressure medicine. I started to get faint in about the third week, maybe the second or third week. And I thought, whoa, maybe this diet's weakening me. And I said, no, wait a minute. I'm feeling really like faint. I wonder what my blood pressure is here. So I took my blood pressure, and it was too low. The guy with high blood pressure now had low blood pressure, and I was taking a minimum one dose a day, smallest possible dose of a antihypertensive drug. And now my blood pressure is, you know, it would be good for a 35-year-old man. And that's changing my diet and losing weight. I don't think it's just losing weight. It's changing the diet. It's getting the toxins out, getting all those, you know, those foods that have been machine-treated and so on, and getting back to eating the basic foods as they were meant to be eaten. And my wife, Ginger, who has been, as anybody who knows us, has been very ill for decades and has been to multiple GI specialists and barely controlling serious issues, and also associated with it, shifting arthritis pains. And when she got so tired of trying this and try that, she wouldn't try Pam's diet, so I went on Pam's diet, partly for her and partly for me. I thought maybe if she saw, if it helped me with my much lesser issues, maybe it would help her. Well, she loves me, so she's making food for me. And we found out that within a week, Ginger was feeling much better. It's now been several weeks, and Ginger is free of her what now had begun to seem like lifelong gastrointestinal problems and shifting joint pains. Decades of it are gone. She's got one little bursitis-like issue in a limb, and that's much, much better, a little bit of a hip joint, but that's nothing. And that's what she's got left after all of this suffering. Hands would ache, feet would ache. So this is very serious now for my personal life. I'm encouraging all my patients to go on this diet, show it to your physician, and they'll recognize that it's got some very sound principles in it, but then they might say, well, go, but eat the good fat. Try not eating the good fats. It makes them night and day. Or if the physician knows nothing, well, you should have a little milk or animal, you know, protein. You can get it from cheese or something. I don't believe any of that. It's a good, sound diet. And again, what Pam went through in doing this and what other people have gone through in doing this is exactly what I've gone through. The big industries attack them. Pam was attacked by the nutritionists. She fought back. And she got Board of Nutritionists unfunded by the state for their bad behavior. So she's a fighter just like me. And that's what, if a person isn't being attacked, then they're not speaking a truth which counters the prevailing money-making truths. Because if you speak truths that counter the prevailing money-making and often industrial, psychiatry is big industry now, medicine is a big industry. If you're speaking truth, hurt their pocketbook, hurt their authority, hurt their self-esteem, because those things matter too, they will go after you. And I've been very blessed to have survived at this age all of the multiple attacks. Someday I'll do a show on that, but I'm not ready to do that, that have happened over the years. This diet will help you feel better. This way of eating, the one that is in Pam's Solving America's Health Crisis, will help you with your eating. And she also, this is is available on her website. It's like 101 of eating for inflammatory bowel disease. But it is basically the same diet of good food, except that you slowly go up the chart, starting with your legumes and your whole grains and your potatoes and squash and corn. And you do that first until you're just feeling better. You find which of those foods help you feel better and do that for a few days or a week. And after a week, Ginger was already up, moving up the chart to vegetables, and within 3 or 4 weeks, she was able to eat everything. She was so much better. I can't overemphasize this. I think that exactly what's happening in psychiatry has been happening in the nutritional field. Now, I know it's happening in the media field, for example. I could talk about that extensively. We know that Google is controlling information now. We know that that all the big corporations do their best to promote not only their money-making, but their ideological positions as well. So in nutrition and in psychiatry, for example, you're going to run into being critical of ideological positions. Now, eating well isn't going to just zap a neurotransmitter and make you undepressed, because that's fake nutrition. What eating well will do is to give your brain and body the best opportunity to function well. It isn't going to correct a mental abnormality, because those aren't caused directly by a specific nutritional deficit. But any can be made worse by a nutritional deficit. I mean, if you have an anxiety issue and then you're sick, of course it's going to get worse. You have a depressive problem, you're struggling with loss and bereavement or sadness from childhood or trauma of child abuse. This isn't going to, changing your diet isn't going to go in and correct all that. It'll help your whole body and brain function better. And it may, just by doing that, relieve what happens to you when you are having a nutritional problem. Most of us have our default positions that we go into. We get trouble sleeping when we're under stress. We get sad when we're depressed. We call it depression when we're under stress. Or we can get OCD or whatever it is. Our default positions may come up when we're under a stress. And if you're not eating right, it could definitely be exacerbating any one of your psychological problems without being in any way a specific cause of that psychological problem. This is the first time I'm kind of unraveling all of this, so this is a really, really important for me today. And I hope that hope above all things is being properly recorded, since I've kind of lost touch with the studio. No, I see actually we have a good number of listeners. Oh, I just got good news that with all of this going on, we've got a good number of listeners. So I appreciate all of you being out there. I've got about 10 minutes more to chat with you. One of the things that I like about Pam Popper's approach and solving Americans' healthcare crisis and all the other things you'll be hearing if you go to my events page and go to events on my drop-down menu and go to the November 12th conference, you're just going to be hearing about all of this, and it's going to be, we're going to be talking about the interactions and the relationships between nutrition and just plain old living good and the psychiatric issues as well. And you're going to get a big education in kind of how the world works, because the world does not promote what is healthy and good. The world promotes what feeds big industry and big government. This is a very sad fact of life. What feeds big industry and big government is what gets fed to you. And you've got to start thinking so carefully about what you put in your mouth and what you take in your mind, in your ears, in your reading, in your thinking. Because the truth has to be reached through individual research and then finding along the way researchers that you can trust. And that's how Pam Popper and I eventually got together. She found out about me. She said, there's my equivalent in psychiatry. And she wants to be able to develop for people the services, including clinic services, not just the educational services, one of which is my new course that's available in October on how and why to withdraw from psychiatric drugs. I've done that with through Pam's organization. And even get college credits for it. You got to get the idea about how you as a human being have to behave in order to take care of. And instead of saying to yourself, you know, I know how to eat, I've tried, it didn't work, but you haven't known how to eat. You haven't known how to eat. And don't say to yourself, I've been to psychologists and psychiatrists, and they don't work. They do work. If what they're giving out is decent, caring, empathically oriented, well-informed psychotherapy. They do work. But it isn't what you're going to see on TV, and it isn't what you're going to read about without doing a lot of searching. So, again, I think for the first time in my life, I have a sound physical as well as mental approach to what's going on. Now, there is a place for medicine and medical drugs and surgery in the general field of health. There is not any place in psychiatry for surgery, that's lobotomy. Still some of it done, despite my pretty much shutting down the lobotomy franchise back in the 70s. There's still some going on. There's no place for the drugs and the diagnosis of psychiatry. What we need is a multitude of different therapeutic approaches and educational approaches and spiritual approaches to help people with psychological and spiritual issues. There is a place for medications and surgery in general medicine, but it's a very small place. I've talked to a couple of regular practicing physicians lately about this, and they've kind of admitted they think only 5 or 10% of their drugs are really doing good and really helping, but they continue giving them. But they're skeptical. And we may be able to change some of medicine, but it means the docs are going to have to take a different view. They're going to have to see themselves as mostly handling acute problems. There's almost no chronic disabilities, almost no chronic medical disabilities are helped very much by the medical doctors. Your nutritional approaches are probably going to do more for most chronic illnesses than will the medical docs. You'll have to explore that for yourself and see what chronic illness you're struggling with and read Pam's work and look at the scientific literature. She's got lots of it in there. And make a decision for yourself. Because what we're talking about is informed medical decision-making. And certainly if you break a leg, you want to get it taken care of properly. If you're in an acute diabetic coma, you want it taken care of medically. But then you want to assess how you're living. Why did you break that leg? Are you doing something you shouldn't be doing? Are you my age and you refuse to admit it? So you broke a leg? You know, what's going on? You always want to be looking at the wider scope of things. And for chronic ailments, you want to look at what will not having some fancy, expensive nutritional diet do for you. What will a plant-based diet do for you? And a plant-based diet that is low on fat and that excludes all products from cows and also goats and also sheep. Because people say, well, what about sheep's milk? What about dairy products from goats? No, it doesn't help human beings. One of the things I especially like to remind people about is that if you get involved with Pam Popper and come to our conference, you're not going to get sold a lot of junk. Now, Pam may have a book or two. I may have a book or two there. Pam may have a cookbook on how to enjoy eating in this way, but she's not going to give you some supplement that's going to cure you. She's not going to sell you a new form of fatty acid. She's not going to give you something high in serotonin to help you with your depression. In fact, she's researched the major supplements and has found that none of them really have a good record of helping people, and many of them are harmful in the long run. And the only supplement that she generally approves of is if you're really going to go vegetarian, vegan, not eat meat and so on, take B12. I'm taking B12 because I'm just not sure about not taking B12, so I'm taking B12. She doesn't see long-term harm from it. Vitamin D, very questionable. I'm going to take some vitamin D because I have a particular circumstance, which is because of my skin. I can't go out in the sun very much in my age in particular without a lot of sunblock. And I often will wear a long sleeve shirt. So where am I going to get my D from, especially in the winter? So I'm going to take a little D. Those are my own private decisions. But you're not going to be sold stuff. You're not going to be asked to buy a lot of junk. And nothing's going to be pushed on you. Oh, and you're going to have some good dinner.
A way of transmitting information to a sensor or other device costs almost nothing.
I don't know what that just was on my cell phone. It said something like, for your information, a sensor device costs nothing. I got no idea how that happened. I should be getting near the end. Let me check on time. and see what's happening here. I'm running this a little differently because I haven't got ear plugs in where I can be in constant communication easily with the studio. And well, it's kind of a good circumstance in which to kind of come out public right now on these issues. Well, it's wrap-up time. Well, hey, thanks for staying with me through this. You've been with me through what is in some ways my first coming out as promoting good nutrition as extremely important to good health and therefore extremely important to how your mental health is. Again, it's not a fad cure for some mental disorder based on fake neurology and fake stuff. It's the real thing. Thanks for being listeners of my show. I deeply appreciate it. Bye-bye now.